Right on. Thank you. It's awesome.
Well, yeah. You asked me, Edgar. Have you asked me before? No. Well, yeah. Okay. So, right on. Last week, we looked at Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 to 8. It's a prayer of thanksgiving for the Christians in the city of Colossae and for their faith in Jesus Christ and their love for each other, which always go together. Faith in Jesus Christ and love for the brothers and sisters in the church. That goes together. And the Holy Spirit changes people when the work of Jesus is applied to a person, giving them faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love for their brothers and sisters in Christ. That goes together. And Paul was always thankful for this when he prayed for these Christians. And this morning we are looking at verses 9 to 14, which are a part of the same prayer of verses 3 to 8. And in this piece, Paul moves into making requests instead of giving thanks. So let's ask the Lord to open our eyes before we dig into this passage. Holy Spirit, has been sung before, we invite you here. We say, come, open our eyes to your truth, encounter us, connect the dots for us, bring your joy and conviction as we make our way through this holy word that you have preserved for us. Come, have your way, break through anything that needs to be broken through for the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The care and concern that Paul and Timothy have for this church is fantastic. In verse 9, Paul says that from the day they heard of the salvation of those people in that church, we have not ceased to pray for you. It's probably not a 24/7 thing, but they continually come up in their minds. This church continually comes up. And when it does, they pray for them right there. They are family, and they love that church, even though they are strangers. Their love drives them to prayer, praying that the church would have a rich life in Christ. Oh, that love would drive each one of us to praying for each other. You know, without ceasing, what kind of a radical church family would we be, hey? Let's try it. Paul and Timothy seem to have been this intense, committed, hardcore pair of prayers. It says, we have not ceased to pray for you. And to be that kind of a hardcore prayer, I imagine you have to have a strong conviction in a number of things, that God is all-powerful, that he wants and is involved in his creation, and that he loves his creation. If those are not sealed in our hearts, we probably pray sporadically or just forget to pray altogether. It doesn't cross our minds. But these guys, don't they make you jealous the way they pray? Without ceasing, we haven't stopped. Being led by the Holy Spirit, they ask that these Christians would be filled with the knowledge of his will, filled with knowing God's will and wisdom and understanding. Filled, not God, just give them some wisdom, or just give them some understanding. That's not what these guys are praying for. Fill them. Lord, consume them. Fill them to the top. Have your will be a part of every area of their lives, their thoughts, their purposes, their plans, their affections, their identity, talking, parenting, relationships, money, hurts, sex, worldview. Filled with your will. You get the idea that God's will is not to be an add-on to someone's life, but his will being our will. And they pray that God gives them His will because they know that people can't figure out God's will on their own. God must give it to us straight from the Holy Spirit, through circumstances, through Scripture, through people, through discernment, or taking steps of faith and watching how He makes things happen or makes things stop. Filled with knowing God's will. This means God wants His will to be known by us, which means it can be known as far as He reveals it. And knowing God's will is having spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. It's being able to discern what is true and right. It's getting the meaning, grasping the idea, being familiar with God's will. This is true spiritual insight. Taking God's will and normalizing it into practice. That's verse 10. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him. Paul's asking that the church knows God's will so that they can live to please the Lord by doing His will. God's wisdom and understanding is given to lead to right living. It is given to bring about righteous living. It's given so Christians can obey the Lord, which pleases the Lord. Lord, fill them with Your wisdom and understanding so that they can live in a way that pleases You. And these are the qualities and characteristics given in this passage that God desires for a life that is pleasing to Him. They are bearing fruit, increasing in knowledge of God, strength, and thankfulness. We're going to go through these four qualities or results, but I think it would be helpful for explanation's sake if I condensed Paul's prayer first and then explain the qualities or results from a life lived pleasing to the Lord. So here is my paraphrase of Paul's prayer. Lord, fill these Christians with Your wisdom and understanding so that they can walk in a manner pleasing to You, which is bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in knowledge of You. And as they bear fruit and increase in knowledge, give them strength and thankful hearts. So God's wisdom and understanding given in order to glorify God through the Christian bearing fruit, having knowledge, strength, and thankfulness. So the first result or quality of a God-pleasing life, a God-glorifying life, is bearing fruit in every good work. Verse 10. And this bearing fruit is different from verse 9. In verse 9, it's about the gospel being spoken and spread, and people coming to Christ and becoming new creations. So verse 6 is about the gospel drawing people to salvation. And here in verse 10, it's about maturity, a life that has Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23, coming out, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. A life that has 2 Peter 1, verse 5 to 8 coming out. Qualities that keep Christians fruitful for the Lord, like faith in God, morality, knowledge of God, self-control, patient endurance, godliness, affection, and love. It's a life reflected in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, which says that through Jesus, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruits of the lips that acknowledge His name. So, character, praising God, being like Christ, this is the fruit that can and is produced by the Holy Spirit in us, habitual actions of goodness of every kind. John chapter 15, verse 8 says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. The Holy Spirit wants to glorify God. And so those in whom he lives, they will be fruitful, which proves they are Jesus' disciples and glorifies God. So a life pleasing to the Lord produces godly fruit. Number two, as we increase in wisdom and understanding of the Lord's will, our lives become more and more pleasing to the Lord because we are growing in the knowledge of God. Verse 10, increasing in the knowledge of God. This is put in present tense. There is an increase. Christians are growing in their knowledge of God. They don't claim to be a Christian for 20 years and have no idea what the Trinity or justification means. Our purpose of life is to worship God, and they are growing, increasing in their knowledge of God. Growing in the knowledge of God can also be translated as growing by the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God causing a maturing in Christ, where we are more discerning and surrendered and enjoying the Lord in all of life. Getting to know Him better, resulting in loving Him more and wanting to know Him better. God is so pleased when His children are passionately interested in Him and pursue getting to know Him. Because the Christian life is not like getting a diploma or a degree from some school. There you learn and learn and learn, you get your degree, and you stop learning because you reached your goal of getting the degree. The Christian life is about us always growing in the knowledge of our inexhaustible God. Increase in the knowledge of God is increasing in knowing how wonderful He is, how loving and forgiving and holy He is. We realize that the peace and comfort and joy and rest that we crave, we all crave that, is found in Him, not in sin's promise. We begin to explore and live the abundant life which He gives, growing in knowing God better and better and better. So the purpose of being filled with all spiritual wisdom and understanding of God's will is to live a God-pleasing life where the Christian bears fruit, spiritual fruit, and increases in knowing the Lord. And as Christians live this out, as they live this way, Paul prays for two things: that the Lord would give them strength, and that the Lord would give them a thankful heart, so that they can carry on bearing fruit and increasing in knowledge. Because it's not easy living a life pleasing to the Lord, right? We still are attracted to sin. We're selfish. We are attacked by the devil and enticed to sin. We get into hard situations. We are in relationships, and those are always hard. We see that the joy and pleasure we search for rests in God alone, and we want to go to Him always for fulfillment, and that's hard. So Paul prays for strength and thankful hearts. The first one, verse 11, strengthened for endurance and patience with joy. Bearing fruit and increasing in knowledge, living to please the Lord, needs God's power. There is no other possible way that we can do that. We are way too weak. So listen how Paul prays. May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. May you be strengthened with all power. Not just with a little bit of power, but with all power. Just like verse 9, Paul prayed not that we should receive some knowledge of God's will, but filled with the knowledge of God's will. Here, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, empowered by all His glorious might, the total of His divine perfect power, us living by God's power, living on God's power. And this power Paul prays for is according to God's might, not according to man's strength, not just having enough strength to meet the need for the situation. His glorious might, the power that was involved in the creation of everything, is the only kind of immense, mighty power that God has. And it is always more than enough to meet the needs of Christians. Meeting evil with God's power. Being continually empowered with that kind of power. That's what Paul is praying for. So that is what is available for Christians. Who's a Christian here? Raise your hand. This is the power available to you. This makes Philippians 4 verse 13 realistic. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Well, yeah, no kidding, right? We are empowered by the mighty power of the sovereign Lord, the only one. God's power is available to His children, and He will exercise His power in His kids. Why? Because He loves us, and He wants us to persevere in enjoying Him. One person has said that God gives us the capacity to see things through. No running away, no quitting, no being scared. All power according to His glorious might, that we would continue on in living to please the Lord, bearing much fruit and growing in knowledge. Having perseverance and patience, long-suffering, that's not seeking revenge when we are hurt, but leaving all that up to God, knowing that all power rests in Him. Paul prays that Christians be strengthened by God's power to endure and to be patient. Not as miserable people as they do this. Rather, endure and be patient with joy. Not joy in the situation that is so hard and that's killing us, but joy knowing that God has the victory and has brought us into His victory over sin and evil, and knowing that there is hope only in God through every and in every situation. This has nothing to do with your personal bravery or courageousness. We are unable to produce this patience and endurance or this joy. This is all about God's full-on enabling power to live in His power by pleasing Him and pleasing Him. That kind of power, do we even get it? I am such a whiner over and over again. We have parenting issues, and I whine and I drift away from the Lord thinking, what are we going to do? This seems so hopeless. How is this going to work? And I'm ignoring the all-powerful, mighty God who I belong to. Why? Doubt? Lack of faith? Making up my own idea of who God is, not being submissive to the Word of God, who He says He is. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. The second prayer request by Paul, that the Lord would give them thankful hearts. That's verse 12 to 14. Paul prays for thankful hearts because thankfulness motivates a God-pleasing life. I'll say it again. Thankfulness motivates a God-pleasing life. Thankfulness builds trust and endurance in the Lord. what takes our heart and softens it and makes it a place of thanksgiving? The reality that God qualified us to receive eternal life, qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints, justification, being saved. God enabled us. He made us. He changed us. So we now share in the saints' inheritance of God's people. Like verse 5, a hope laid up for you in heaven. We have eternal life. This has already happened for those found in Christ. We have eternal life. Jesus' finished work on the cross is applied to us. He took my sin away, making me His for eternity. He delivered me, rescued me from the domain of darkness. Now catch that. It's not that He came to make us nice people. Okay? There is this ugly thing called sin, ruled by the devil, who has the dominion of darkness. And He delivered us, Jesus delivered us, from the domain of darkness, the place, the home of darkness, where darkness ruled. God transferred me, moved me, reestablished me, delivered me from evil, from the home of darkness, into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. In Christ, this is my position and possession right now. This is my life, my everything right now, living in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Giving thanks to God the Father, always and in every situation. Everything has changed for eternity. Every Christian, always and at any moment, has an enormous amount to be thankful for. Verse 12 to 14, they read like a Christian creed. God has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins in Him. Oh! Acts 26 verse 18 says that God opened our eyes so that we may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that we may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in Jesus. Paul prays for these Christians to have a thankful heart in light of all that the Lord has done for them, which will motivate the Christian to carry on in the power of God, knowing that God can bring the light and salvation of Jesus into any situation and any person, just like He did to you and I. Why do we sit and try to chase and find answers somewhere else to fulfill that need that we have, or the desire that we have for a change in life, instead of going back to the gospel message and preaching it to myself? I am saved. He has saved me from that domain of darkness to light. Praise be to the Lord. What happens when I start praising the Lord in the midst of something that is terribly, terribly hard? Something is going to snap in me for the glory of God. I believe it. Why am I not doing it? Ugh. Lord, fill these Christians with your wisdom and understanding so that they can walk in a manner pleasing to you, which is bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in knowledge of you. And as they bear fruit and increase in knowledge, give them strength and thankful hearts. God's wisdom and understanding given in order to glorify God through bearing fruit, increasing in knowledge, and being strengthened and given thankful hearts. church, the Holy Spirit directed Paul to pray these things in this way for this church, which means that this flow and sequence is the desire of the Lord, that this prayer holds truth and reality that is to be applied to the Christian life today. The Lord wants you and I to know His will. He's not keeping it a secret. There's a lot of His will right here that we'll never exhaust. He wants us to know His will. He wants us to have spiritual wisdom and understanding. And He's proved that He wants this for us because we have the Bible, which is all about Him and the Holy Spirit living inside of us. As we grow in knowing God's will, grow in wisdom and understanding, our desire to live lives pleasing to Him will happen. You know why? Because we start seeing how marvelous and how beautiful He is, and everything else pales in comparison when we're beholding the Lord God. How can a new car be in competition for my heart when I'm looking at the Lord? We will be bearing fruit in every good work. We will be increasing in our knowledge of the Lord. We will experience the mighty power of the Lord, strengthening us to be patient and finish our lives joyfully, worshiping the Lord, motivated by thankfulness to the Lord for our wonderful salvation through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Church, there is no better way to live than for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is no better way. And He is there. He is ready to empower us. He is empowering us in ways that we don't even know about. And He wants to give us more. And He wants to reveal more of Himself to us. And I get the sense, because maybe I'm in it right now, but there are some very, very hard things that many, many of us are going through this morning. We're carrying them. They're super tough. We don't know what to do with them. And they're sucking the life out of us. They're breaking our hearts. They're just so, so hard. And this morning, I want to call you forward. The band, come on up. But this morning I want to call you forward. If you are going through something that is very, very difficult, that is happening in your family or your friends or in your life, something that is very, very difficult and that is hard for you to carry on, I want you to come forward so that we as your church brothers and sisters can love you by praying for you and praying in the way that Paul has laid out for us this morning. So I'm asking you to today not be shy. Don't be shy today. You're amongst brothers and sisters. If you're going through something and it is hard and it seems like it's beating you, it's beating on you, come forward. Come forward right now. Don't hesitate. Come forward. There's nothing magical here. Come forward. Stand up at the front and we're going to pray. Okay? Come on forward. We want to pray for you. Come forward. If you have someone that's living in a destructive life, come forward. Come forward. We're going to pray for you. How many of you here want these people to move forward in the power of the Lord? How many? Then come up here and surround these people. Put your hands on them. We are going to pray for them as brothers and sisters. Come, surround these brothers and sisters who are hurting right now. Come and surround them. We are not just a bunch of individuals. We've been brought into the family of God. And God, our Heavenly Father, is available to us always. So here we go. We're praying. You launch out wherever you are. You just start talking. Don't take turns praying. Just pray. And I will close off, okay? Just start praying. We need your, we want to know your will, and we want our loved ones, the people that are in crisis, to know your will. We want your Holy Spirit to penetrate our hearts and the hearts of our loved ones so that they would know your will and know the immense joy that is available in you. Lord, we ask that for each one here that is hurting, that is in a hard place, that by your mighty power, according to who you are, would invigorate their hearts and their minds, that there would be no giving up, but that there would be a reinforcing of a standing for the Word of God, for the glory of God, in God's power, in God's love, and that that would spill out onto living, that their faith and trust would be in you, not in the people, not in the circumstances, but in you, that they would pour out this fruit, and that we would all increase in our knowing who you are, that according to your word, that we would know who you are in the midst of those situations, that you are all-powerful, that you are loving, that you are able to do something. Father, come. Come, soften our hearts, break our hearts. Let today not be a day like any other, but Father, may your Holy Spirit be on those loved ones right now, cracking away at the evil that they're committed to. Father, may we, by faith in you, see them released from their bondage. Father, may we believe that we can stand and we can continue and we can continue to love them. We can continue to stand strong in you. May you be glorified, Lord. May you be glorified. We ask this as your children here at Calvary Baptist Church family. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. 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 Doug, let's sing.